Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with a wonderful guest who is an expert on the topic of today's show. So you own or manage multifamily properties. How do you manage those assets? Do you have an in-house management team? With this in mind, the topic of today's show is the role of asset management in multifamily. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Mark Billick, an asset manager with Ventura Realty. Thanks for joining in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's take a second for the benefit of our listeners to kind of define the term of asset manager. What does it mean to be an asset manager? What are the differences between an asset manager and a property manager? I think in some cases people use those terms interchangeably and mistakenly because there are two specific roles. Although there is a case to be made in an article I read that some people are kind of blurring those lines, but there are different duties and responsibilities. So what is the definition of an asset manager as you see it?
Sure. And one, I would probably add that this definition will vary by organization, but an asset manager tends to be, at least across varying lines, someone who's going to look at the reporting, look at the financials, look at things maybe from a higher level, and I mean by higher level, a different perspective than perhaps the property manager may have. As that property manager or regional manager, that operational team is thick and heavy in the day-to-day duties of operations, of marketing that community, selling that community, making sure everyone shows up at that community. Whereas an asset manager really has that luxury of looking at data, financial reviews, and leading and managing their sphere from there.
So, and by way of full disclosure to our audience, you've pretty much done it all from the standpoint of being a property manager for when you in the early years of your career, and then into a regional manager's position, and then now in the asset management. So you've seen the differences and experienced those yourself in real world type experiences. As a property manager, when you were working as a property manager, your priorities were different than what they are today as an asset manager, and you probably had a different set of glasses on when you were working on a property.
Yeah, I mean, I would add to that, really, anyone who's been on site, boots on the ground, so to speak, that property manager is really just a well-paid porter. Mm-hmm. So it is our job to show up every day, make sure the community looks clean, happy residents, happy staff, happy owner. And that's your focus. You know, am I going to sell something today? Will my leasing team be motivated? Will I have a resident issue to deal with? So it does provide a different perspective than when I step back, you know, after all these years and look at it. It is different, but I will tell you it's afforded me, I think, a little bit of a different perspective. So for instance, I understand decisions being made in the ivory tower at times, in the corporate office, how that impacts the life of the porter who may or may not have two jobs and a family to support, and what these changes in hours or flexible schedules may do to them, or the community manager who is single with a child or has a partner and is going through school. So I am fortunate enough to have that perspective, thanks to going from part-time leasing through the operation spectrum, really gives me a different lens on the situation.
Yeah, and it's, you know, based on the article that I read from Multifamily Executive, and of course talking with you and other folks in the industry over the years, analytics, analyzing data, that is a major role that asset manager has that most of the time the folks on site or even the regional managers don't get that detailed or into the weeds, I would say, and they shouldn't, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would probably piggyback on that in the sense that the buzzword here in the last 5 years or so has been big data, predictive analytics. We have the new software, all these different reporting capabilities and beautiful looking reports. But then having reports and data available that allow the on-site team to make a decision and within the same world, allowing, you know, maybe the COO to make a decision about an asset, is two different things. So by looking at the analytics from the asset manager role, I've got two lenses. And I've got the one that says, okay, you know, I need to communicate to our vice president of operations, you know, how the assets are performing by property and by region. But then I also need to communicate to the community manager and the regional manager, you know, here are some challenges that we're seeing compared to, you know, maybe some like properties that we have. Here's what you're doing well. What are you doing well? Because we want to replicate that. So there certainly is a large use for analytics. And I'll tell you, Ventura buys into that, especially with their background in software development. But then I would say in and of itself, data is data. And until you can put that to life and see, well, which data impacts performance and which one really tells the picture, that's a different scenario there.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in the last 20 years, I mean, you've started out in the industry, I think you said, in 1996. So, you know, in the last 20 or so years, software has completely changed or revolutionized a lot of the ways that you can get data, analyze data, that I guess when you started, it wasn't even available at the time.
Yeah, I feel like we went from a time where, you know, we didn't have the automation and technology available. I remember doing lease contracts with carbon paper, and if you made a mistake, you know, you redid it, and that was a struggle for me. And then, you know, we have this automation to where, you know, with the click of a button, everything is integrated, and you know, presents the data for you in the forms. But there and in the middle, and something we're still struggling with is, are we instituting technology and change just to do it? You know, do we have this technology in place just to say we have the technology, or is it truly improving the process on site? I will tell you, coming from where I have in the property management field, one of my main objectives in any meeting, any project I'm involved with is, what is it doing? What is this project, endeavor, report, BI dashboard doing that will provide additional insight to the sites? If we're not freeing up the on-site teams to have more time in relationships with their residents so that they can spend more time trying to get that renewal, trying to get that lease, trying to get someone to stay, if we're not freeing up time for them to do what they do best, it's not really an endeavor I want to take. But I will tell you that technology is out there that really changes the way we do things, everything on the marketing side and some of your previous shows have alluded to, that technology is there. And so it would be my job to see, well, how can we apply this technology in a way that's not too disruptive on operations, right? We're not losing sight of what really matters the most.
And so some of the advances that we've seen with the software, where have they helped specifically? Where have you seen that they've helped specifically to achieve that goal?
I know in my specific world, and probably speaking to other associates, in the way that we are able to have reporting, the type of reporting, the data that we are able to gather, that would be one area where in my particular world has been great. You know, I'm not spending weeks and months putting together a format that will, you know, benefit the company. But that same technology is also integrated with marketing and leasing and our call center, so that data is available to everyone, and we're all on the same page, which I think is really the direction we need to be headed into.
And all that information basically, I guess, starts at the property level. A lot of it's entered at the property level, and it makes its way throughout the organization, available in certain reports for regional managers as well as asset managers.
Yeah, and I think there's another important role there for the asset manager, and that's to provide some guidance. Look, this is where this information becomes helpful. This is where this data becomes useful. These are decisions that impact your life and things that you want to do on your community. So that asset manager acting as a liaison, as a connector within this value chain here from the top down, can play a role.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to be talking more about asset management. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen & Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We are discussing the role of asset management in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Mark Billig, an asset manager with Ventura Realty. I want to let our listeners know before we jump back into the discussion that you can provide show topics, guest ideas, and suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters by going to our website, www.multifamilyradio.com. So, Mark, we were kind of talking during the break. One of the things that I think you had mentioned, but I read in an article is that a lot of the folks that are in asset management, that have roles as asset managers, started out in the financial industry because of their analytical skills and so forth. But many of them don't have practical experience in multifamily. I can imagine that they do a fine job as they are, but it seems like if someone has the practical experience in multifamily like you do, that it can help to create a more fluid situation when you're dealing with on-site teams and so forth. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree with that. We've seen a lot of technology. Just look at the entire revenue management, pricing, advising world. You know, we understand that the hotel industry, the airline industry, certain technologies and processes were available that really assisted in their revenue-driven goals, their pricing altogether. The second part to that would be, well, how does that translate to our world? So I've heard it said many times, but we have that unique job where we work where our customer lives. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to conduct business, and to interact and build relationships and to get on the side of your customer and to champion events for them. And it's another thing then to realize, well, you also have the interest in the owner at stake here. And so to realize on any particular day, you are listening to a resident story about a birth or an illness. And then at the same time, communicating to them that if we're going to continue to provide excellent service, there's a 10% renewal increase. So it provides some different dynamics. Mm-hmm. Certainly a lot to be afforded to us when we do have people outside the industry joining us. I think it gets us out of something that might be considered group speak, or this is the way we've always done it. So it is nice to have that perspective. But at the same time, understanding the intricacies of the on-site team, the residents, the vendors, it certainly does help in the asset management role.
You know, I've dealt with, in the years I've been involved in multifamily, I've dealt with companies that, like yours, that has you as an in-house asset manager. You're part of the corporate team. And then there are third-party management companies that do fee management that don't necessarily have an asset manager on staff, but the owner may have an outside asset manager. And at times, I've just interpreted this, that it seems like maybe their interests don't always meet up. One wants to go in one direction, the other one wants to go in the other. What are your thoughts on that as far as third party?
Yep. I would certainly say there's some skill in negotiating in there. but it all goes back to, if you understand what they're looking for and then what we're looking for, and to look for the common ground. So for instance, that third party asset manager is interested in year over year returns and how the bottom line looks at this on this particular quarterly statement. Whereas, we're looking at, okay, well, we're going to have this community for 7, 10, 15 years. What are the best decisions to be made? What are the products that we have in our community that, we are going to purchase that are more long-term assets and products and items that we use within the community versus something that's maybe less expensive, but perhaps we don't get the customer feedback that we want. So I would then say, not only do you find common ground, but then, communicate to this third party person the long-term gains from making decisions. So for instance, you can have 12% renewal increases where perhaps your customer feedback isn't so great and your turnover is higher, or perhaps it's still robust and you're at 8%, but you've got happier residents. You've got that feedback on your social media that is ever important. So yeah, it all goes back to really that asset manager being the liaison in between your corporate values and your corporate strategy, and then understanding the needs of this third party asset, which just as important. But the theme here would be to find that common ground.
Well, you had mentioned that in your current role, the portfolio that you cover is spread out, not just in Texas. You're in different markets within Texas, but you also have assets that are in Florida and Georgia and so forth. How many total assets do you
manage? Yeah, so manage? We've got 56 at this point. That's mainly throughout the Southwest.
Yeah, so you got 56 assets that you've got to be looking at a 40,000-foot view of those at some point. And then I guess when you see something crop up in one of your reports that causes you to be of concern, then you have a chance to focus in on it. Is that how it works, or is there? I mean, that's a lot of assets to keep up with.
Yeah, it is. I really believe what I look at it in this perspective, that asset manager objective, right? And taking that asset management look, I made a few notes before our meeting here today. And one, this kind of refers back to what we were discussing on our objectives versus a third-party objective versus the objective of even the property manager, regional manager, is, one, having a true understanding of what our core values are and understanding what we want and the way that we operate, and then understanding the strategy, overall strategy of what we're trying to accomplish. There's more than one ways to get to to B from A, but then understanding the people. So then to your point, how do we best learn our people? So I won't lie. One of the challenges that I've run into is I'm providing reports that get disseminated to the CEO, the executive group, other investors. How do you provide valuable information on those reports, but then also the intimate knowledge? So how do I know the intricacies of a property that we will have in Atlanta, you know, when I'm in Houston most of the time? So one, it does start with taking the time to know the people there and having those conversations, even if it's remotely. But then the second thing is, and this is where technology and possibly an asset management role comes into play. I created really nothing fancier than what's referred to as a SWOT analysis form. Mm-hmm. I changed the name of the form so it wasn't quite so intimidating, made it easy, but it affords the on-site team to write the good, the bad, the challenges, what's really happening to them on a high level, mm-hmm. What's impacting them, things that they want communicated. And so that particular resource, something they fill out quarterly or keep updated, it really allows me the opportunity to go, okay, here's our returns, here's our rents, here's our occupancy. Now let me tell you a little bit something more specific about what's happening with the team or what's going on in that particular market.
So I guess the bottom line is in most cases, there's more to a situation than just the numbers on the page. There's more that has to be looked into, at least if someone wants to have a good understanding of why things happen or how things are happening on a property.
Yeah, I would add to that the opportunities there with the financial reviews and taking the time to sit down with the community managers and the regional managers. It's a great opportunity to look at the dynamics of the property and then the financial results. So I guess in other words, you can look at financial reviews and you can see performance, but without the context of what is going on in that particular market or the community and you know, understanding that we're not just sitting in an office running numbers, we need to understand what's happening in these different markets and what's happening with the market and what's happening with the economy. I can make different decisions. We may not be performing to where we want to be in a particular market, but what does that really mean? Are we not performing to what our budget expectations were? Are we not doing as well as previous year, same quarter? And what's going on in there? Did they get hit by a large number of communities in that particular submarket? Have there been staff changes? Or just a lot of different components that can go into play. And so that that asset manager is going to want to be involved in the market, in the product, and just try to be understanding in terms of what's happening in the different realms.
Do you, when you want to get that understanding, when you see something that's a concern and you want to try and have a better understanding, do you loop in the operations folks above the on-site team, or do you go directly to the on-site team, or how do you handle that?
So I use a common theme here today, and that's been liaison, and I feel like we're truly a connector. So I'm involved with communications on the marketing team, the recruiting team, the maintenance asset management part of it. Understanding the full picture is the only way we can paint that true picture of that community, its performance, and where we're headed.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a short break. We are going to be back in just a couple of minutes. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the role of asset management in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Mark Billig, an asset manager with Ventura Realty. But I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Mark, we were kind of talking during the break about the fact that a good asset manager or an asset manager who has practical experience can also have experience in pricing and revenue management. I know you mentioned at a previous company that you worked with that was under your umbrella as well as asset management. You got involved in decisions about pricing. And then at the company you're at now, there's a team of people that handle the pricing and revenue management. But it all kind of flows into to asset management. Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure. Really, you know, it goes back to the different hats that can be worn. And what does an organization need? So as you referred to, I had that revenue manager role, the pricing role. So certainly heavy on the understanding of the markets and the concessions and the intricacies at each community. And then you take a step back and here at Ventura, larger portfolio, different resources, and they have teams that are dedicated to marketing and pricing and training. And I would say that still having that background and being able to wear different hats and being able to have that conversation on how does our revenue program work? How does our pricing and analytics work and intricacies of it? And having the background of, well, here's, I understand that our revenue or our vacancy is a little bit higher than what we wanted to, but guess what? We're getting higher rents. So going through that and understanding the analytics certainly gives you an opportunity, and even further back, having an opportunity to communicate with marketing, with sales, with the maintenance team. For instance, when you're speaking to the regional maintenance manager for an area and they realize that you've had your boots on the ground, that you've been in their shoes, that you understand what it's like to work overtime or have to do a fire watch at a community. Well, the same thing applies to when you're talking revenue and pricing analytics, and understand that these numbers are coming from above, and here are the real life implications on the people on site and then NOI.
And so I had a corresponding with a manager right now on a property that had a fire back, I think in August. And they had a whole building of units that's offline. What is the role of asset manager when you have something like that or a hurricane come through and a property is changes as far as what's available to rent and what needs to happen to get units back online? Do asset managers get involved in that?
Yeah, so I take, and I know a lot of other asset managers take the perspective of the five P's, right? So what's the people, the product, promotion, the pricing, placement, and different aspects. And again, this is an analytical view, and it's a non-people perspective, so to speak. However, I understand what it takes for NOI to increase at a healthy rate. It takes your happy people. It takes the community looking good. It takes your pricing and promotion to be where it needs to be. So then you take an event such as a hurricane or a fire, and while you're not involved in the day-to-day operations, you know, you understand that if your on-site team isn't taken care of, they're not going to be able to respond to resident issues or concerns as they come up. And you know, that's going to translate into residents that aren't the happiest, or they're going to see the way you do respond to this issue. So while the asset manager is not necessarily there when the resident comes in and wants to understand what's going on, you know, there's that communication of, okay, as an asset manager, what can I do to make your job easier? Is there a technology or a call center approach, or getting additional maintenance resources involved? Should the marketing team be involved so that they can take some relief off the on-site team? Are there additional funds that maybe can be allocated, or forecast change so that now we're allocating more money to kind of handle and deal with the resident issues as they're coming up as it relates to the fire? So kind of taking that higher 40,000, you know, foot approach, certainly affords us the opportunity to, while we're not involved in the trenches at all time, to go in there and have an understanding of what they're going through, and to provide the resources, basically be support for the on-site team, right? I mean, it is my job to see that NOI increases and that there is a happy owner. Well, how does that happen? It's from doing the right things and keeping your company culture and values in line.
Okay. And you told me a story about how things are different from market to market, and it was a housekeeping story. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, sure. So obviously, being, you know, on site for as many years as I had been, you know, there's certain frictions that occur possibly from an asset management role to a property management role, and that is, do we need an in-house keeper? Is that something that we can do ourselves? Is that a luxury that's afforded? And I'd probably piggyback to a short other example too. Obviously the on-site team, the maintenance team, you know, they're going to want to spend their time and resources in a certain manner and allocate their valuable resource, which is time, in a certain way. Whereas maybe asset manager goes, okay, look, we can take these funds that we were using for the housekeeper, and perhaps we can freshen that model ourselves. Or instead of contracting out the clean for the fit center every week, twice a month we're cleaning it in-house. Well, not having a lot of exposure outside of Houston and Texas prior to Ventura, you know, I would say, well, that's going to be a problem convincing your on-site team to want to get rid of their housekeeper. But then when you look at the empirical evidence of, okay, well, guess what? It works well in other warm regions. So, you know, we're not taxing our on-site teams too much in Florida or Atlanta. They're making it work. So then you have this conversation on their level, the community managers in Houston and Texas, and go, okay, now here's an opportunity to improve your NOI, which improves your bonuses, makes the investors and owner happy. So let's try something to where, you know, maybe we're doing some of this more in-house. So yeah, you know, that was an opportunity to kind of translate or bring together, you know, maybe what we're seeing on the numbers and the financials versus what's going on site. A second example real quickly is something that's referred to as common area electricity monitoring. So there's a program that we've tested to where in the corporate office, actually the asset management team, we actually have control over thermostats. And it sounds kind of odd or trivial, but what we do is basically we're monitoring, you know, all the thermostats in the exterior hallways and the common areas to where, you know, they're not left on 65 degrees, you know, all night, or they're not turned down too low or too high after hours. So there's not this flux. So a small program or what would appear to be a small program, you know, it's an opportunity to where we've got this program where we're looking at it from the financials number and go, okay, here are the cost savings. Well, now you look at the real world and the real world implications as it pertains to the people on site. And they're like, okay, I don't want Big Brother controlling my temperature. I like 72.
All right.
Joe or Betty likes 76. So there's, I wouldn't say tension or friction. I think if you realize that good conflict is in itself good, you tend to get good results out of it. But it's a process to work through. And the minute that you diminish or lessen the voice of the on-site team while you're making these asset management decisions, you're going to lose your support.
So. Yeah. So, and on the example that you were talking about with the housekeeping, you had told me that the leasing agents get involved in that, and I think you said they have a sparkle bucket. What is that about?
Yeah. So anyone that's been in this industry for a while, I think they'll think back and go, yes, the sparkle bucket. And it's something that we did 15, 20 years ago. And you're given the opportunity to, you know, take this bucket or whatever supplies you need, or sometimes you keep the material inside the model. But instead of contracting out and having this extra expense, you now have this process to where it's shared. It is a community manager, the assistant manager, maybe even a maintenance gentleman or female involved, so that they're going out and they're freshening up the models, they're freshening up the fitness center. But then the end result is, you know, you've got someone from your team looking at the tour route, looking at the product. Does the place look sellable, which is ultimately what you want? And you've been able to reduce costs as well.
And were you able, I know you said you, Houston, they were doing it a different way. Did you get buy-in from your folks in Houston on the process?
It was a complete success, I would say, begrudgingly. I say that in all fondness. They tested it, right? You do your test pilot properties, right. You get your buy-in, you go through your change management, and you do things the right way. But you do things in the right way so that this economic decision was made with their interests and the well-being of the property in mind, and it went well.
Great, great. Well, we have one final segment to come back to after these messages. We're going to take a break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the role of asset management in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and my guest is Mark Billick, an asset manager with Ventura Realty. I want to remind you can go to our website at any time and listen to any of our archived episodes at www.multifamilyradio.com. So, Mark, the role of asset management, let's discuss the dreaded B word, the budgeting. That's something that, as we tape this show at this time of year, is going on right now. It's budget season in the multifamily industry. Let's kind of, as far as what your experience has been over the years, your years in multifamily, let's talk a little bit about the budgeting process, how it starts and where it goes up the chain and back down the chain. It's people who are in it understand it, but let's let our listeners know your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. So part of what makes this B process challenging, or maybe not the funnest event in the entire world, is if you think about the time where this kicks off. So summertime, June, July, community managers, regional managers, maybe even other folks from the corporate team, we've got our wish lists and directions and items and things that we see for the property. So then you roll out the coldest months of the year for Houston, mm-hmm. August.
You're right.
And you say, okay, go out there in a tie. Let's walk the community. Let's look at everything that we need. And let's do four or five of those a day, nonstop for a few weeks. And when that's done, we'll hit Florida. We'll hit Atlanta, where the other cooler regions are. So you get, probably people in different dispositions after they've gone through this, and it's day three of 110 degree heat, and they're looking at wish list items, right? And so it probably starts with that. These are the items that the community manager wants to have for the property. Now, that's not to diminish what they want and what it will do for the community. Yes, changing the clubhouse to a different color will provide some change and a different look to the community, adding this or adding that. But then you have to look at the definition of economics, right? You've got a set number of resources. And as the asset manager, you realize the higher my returns, the higher my distributions to my investors, the more attractive I look on paper, I'm able to get more funding. More funding means I'm able to acquire more communities. More community means I'm hiring more people. It means I'm promoting from within and I have a very happy portfolio. Okay, then it goes back, however, of spending the resources on other things. So it starts with looking at, okay, so these are our wish list items. What are things that we need for this year or next? Something that I've tried to do with Ventura, and I've had a lot of buy-in and support with, is providing some automation and adding the technology piece to it. So we're all used to a budget template. So our perspective is, let's make it easier on the community manager just to fill out. What are some items that we can have in this particular budget template that the community manager doesn't have to sit down and fill out? Let's make it so that it's on SharePoint, so different people can look at it and see when they've been at it, and let's add an area for notes, and let's make the collaboration piece a little bit easier to do. And then I will also say that, there's a lot of times and a lot of little pieces to the budget to where, we've put a lot of effort into it, and it would be one thing to say, okay, this is going to be your budget. We'll take your input on a few pieces, but we're going to sign off on it. I know at Ventura, they go to painstaking efforts to make sure that there's not just buy-in, but there's an understanding. Daniel Heyman heads up our revenue team, and he will take the time to speak with the regional managers and the community managers and let them know, this is why we expect your revenue to go to this particular level, or where we see concessions or these other revenue opportunities. So the second phase of our budget process is kind of getting this an initial budget set up and some initial assumptions, right? The budget is an expectation tool. And so that's where it stems from. And then so phase three, so to speak, would be, now let's have the budgets looked at by the community managers and regional managers. And there's a little bit more to that. So we'll take the time to more or less educate our community managers and regional managers. Let's talk about the different pieces of the financial review process or the income statement. These are some tools to look at where you've been, where the numbers say you're headed. Now let's have your dialogue on to where you see things happening. So you've got this influx of communication, then it comes back to the asset management, and then onto the vice president role, and there'll be changes. But I'll tell you, using some of these resources that we use, putting some of this in SharePoint, we've added some transparency. We've added an opportunity for community managers and regional managers to weigh in on the process on where they see things are happening. Because in the end, they do have intimate knowledge of the community. They do know what's being built next door. They do see particular businesses that contribute to their particular property that are thriving or not thriving or moving. So there's a lot of buy-in. There's a mix of trying to add technology and just a lot of transparency.
And so you go through that budgeting process. At some point in time, things that were in the budget are taken out of the budget. And at some point in time, you've got an approved budget. The property has an approved budget that they work from. So you get into the budget year and things come up on the property. What is asset, the role of asset management? What is their involvement in these things that were unplanned that will happen on a property?
Sure. So there's actually a two-part answer to that. One is the way that we look at a community property asset and the way we value its performance. One is obviously budget. You know, that's the easy one. How are we doing on NOI or operating expenses compared to budget, and what changes happened throughout the year? Another important aspect of that is how are we doing compared to last year? So to answer that question, things are going to happen. Things are going to change. The market is going to turn from the point that a hurricane comes by in Houston and all the budgets that we set up in August. Now, all of a sudden, the market looks totally different for the first 6 months of 2018. So yes, there's a lot of changes. I would tell you I'm a little bit old school in the approach of the budget, in the sense that these were our original expectations based off of the buy-in and feed-in and data that we had. So there's two points of interest here. One, are we able to move things around so that in this particular quarter, maybe the resources that we had in quarter four are now allocated to quarter three for marketing spend or capital expenditure that will help the community out. So there's an asset management opportunity to look at the big picture and go, okay, let's move things around. We're gonna stick with the same budgeted expectation for the year, but we're gonna move things around. And the other part would be the forecasting. Okay, well, you know, we didn't expect this particular event at the community. We didn't expect this maintenance issue to occur or to occur at such a level. So yeah, perhaps there's an opportunity to reach out to the investors for additional capital expenditure funds. Perhaps there's a changing of our CapEx program. Perhaps our distribution level is slightly lower, perhaps more than what was expected, but you know, not as robust as before. So there's different things that we can do at the asset management role and at that level that kind of lessen the impact of the changes that will occur, because no matter how good a budget is, there's just so many assumptions and guesses involved with it at times.
You know, I would guess that a lot of the managers who started out in leasing and worked their way up to assistant manager and manager didn't have a tremendous amount of formal training in analytics and budgeting and financials and so forth. But yet, from an asset management standpoint, that's your world and you have to be able to communicate with them. How important is it from the standpoint of bringing them into that process with some training so that they have a better understanding and they can be more valuable to you when they're on the property?
Yeah, I think anyone that understands change management understands that you can have the world's best idea, but if you don't have buy-in, if you don't have people looking at it the same way, your programs aren't going to be implemented. So I spend a fair amount of time to where, okay, I want to make this change in the way that we do financial reviews. I want to get these resources and tools online. I want to change the way that we collaborate. I want to change the way that we look at a financial review. Well, those are all great initiatives that can save time, provide actionable items. But if I haven't taken the time to see what the impact might be on the community manager or the regional manager or the way that their performance is evaluated, that program is not going to be a success. And I'm going to spin wheels trying to make it happen. So yes, not only understanding the community manager's needs and wants, but then taking that time to get their buy-in and testing out these programs beforehand, critical.
Yeah. And I guess the training of them, when you're working with a smaller company, it might be a little bit easier, but when you have 56 assets and you got questions coming up, it can be somewhat more difficult to keep up with. How do you handle it?
Yeah. So I feel like I take things at a value add perspective. So again, what am I doing to take some of the reporting and deadline burdens off of the on-site teams, and what can I do to put more actionable items into place? And one of that is that financial review and budgeting process. Then in turn, you know, what opportunity do I have to provide a little bit of training? Because yes, I mean, we have mentors and a great training department, and, you know, starting off setting expectations from our recruiting team, then I have that opportunity to put my thumbprint on it. You know, this is our budget process. This is the way we do financial reviews, and we're doing it in a way that's a slightly more automated. It's more efficient. It takes less time. There's more transparency. But then that takes that initiative on my team, so that we're providing that training and we're working through the process of it. So a little bit of a challenge, but again, I'm all about automating and making these processes more efficient. It's just, you know, that then affords me the opportunity to go, okay, I understand there's a lot of IRM and NEA courses that are really elevating the property management game from where it was 10, 15 years ago. I mean, these community managers are at levels, you know, not seen before because they're running such large assets. And so I get to play a little part in that.
Okay. We've got about 45 seconds left. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how they can get in touch with you if they have any questions.
Sure. So, interesting background. I think if you're in this business, one, you probably didn't intend to be in it forever. This was just a starting point, and that's where I was, starting off as a part-time leasing agent for Equity Residential. I've had the opportunity to work with just great folks from Kim Small, David Jones, Sue Ramsey, currently Brian George. So, you know, surrounding myself by these experts and people that just really love the business, and then just including my little fine pieces or little intricacies in life. I was in the Army for a few years, volunteer fire department, mm-hmm. wear different hats, but I think you need that to survive in the property manager world.
If someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yep, mbillig@ventura living. I will tell you, it's not too hard to find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or as my kids say, the gram.
And it's B-I-L-L-I-G.
Correct.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for being with me today, Mark. I've been trying to get you on the show for a long time. We will be back next Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Business 1110 a.m. KTEK with another great show and another power panel of industry experts. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.